Hey guys, welcome to a rare Monday morning podcast here at PsychOneFanatic.com. Got a special guest. We are at the Jacobson Building today, and I've got Jamie Pollard with me, Iowa State's athletics director. What's up, Jamie? How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm just amazed watching you multitask here. For our listeners out there, this, you know, Chris is just not the voice or the writer behind the Cyclone Nation. He is the technician here this morning.
You're giving me a little bit too much credit, but I appreciate that.
You're working that board like a true engineer from Iowa State.
Well, thank you. Journalism student, engineer. I wish I got paid like an engineer.
You took like engineering 101, didn't you?
No. In fact, I don't think I would have passed that.
Well, you looks like you could teach it.
I did take, they called it Rocks for Jocks back in the day, Geology 101.
Yeah, my son has that class this semester.
Yeah, I think everybody goes through that one, and there's like 300 people in there. That's actually kind of fun.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Hey, I wanted to, there's a lot going on here.
And there is.
I appreciate you letting me come in here and bring the podcast equipment to your office. It's I know you're a busy guy this time of year, but I'm looking out at this beautiful south end zone. And I remember when you got here, it was back in, 2005? You've been here 10 years, right?
Yes.
And I remember coming in to interview you. I was a student. I was this lowly student at the time. And we talked about, like, different dreams and stuff that you wanted to get done during your time at Iowa State. And I remember specifically bringing up the bowling in the end zone because there's so many fans who – at the time, we're passionate about that. And you kind of gave me, we'll see what happens. You know, it was a very political answer at the time. And I'll be honest, at that time, I didn't think in 10 years we would be looking at what we're looking at right now. How much pride do you take when you look out your office window and see this stadium and the way it is right now?
I take a lot of pride from it. It is really neat. It's a great view. I'm giddy about this Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
I want the weather to hold because I want it to be a very memorable evening because it means so much to so many people.
Yeah.
And it was the number one question or idea from our fans, certainly in the 10 years I've been here, but as I've said many a time, this transcends that 10 years. I mean, it goes back years of people talking about doing this,
mm-hmm.
way before they even built the indoor football facility. The original money that Bergstrom's donated was going to be for the south end zone, and there was going to be a basketball practice facility underneath there. And then that all got changed, and they did the Bergstrom indoor football facility. And, we've done a lot of facilities since that time.
Absolutely.
Including another football building and a basketball facility. But we finally got to the end zone, and that's pretty neat.
There's this perception out there when things aren't going wrong. You hear a lot of people talk like, well, the number one thing the fans can do is not support the program to invoke change. You hear that a lot. But I would guess, and I don't know this for sure, but I was talking with Ben Bruns on one of these podcasts like a week ago, and he pointed out, like, through thick and thin, Iowa State fans have consistently shown up. And would this be happening without that support? In football, with basketball, I know there was a big gift, but the amount of season tickets sold the last 2-3 years compared to, I'm just thinking back in 2004 when Missouri's here, the Cyclones are playing for a trip to the Big 12 championship game, and there's 35,000 or 37,000, whatever. I mean, I've just seen this fan base grow so much. Would this be happening without that support?
Absolutely not. I mean, there are so many factors that go into why this end zone is now here. And that's why I've called it. It's really a reflection of not the end zone per se, but where we are with the program at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very visible capstone. It clearly the project wouldn't have originated without the lead gift. And, I remember saying 4 or 5 years ago, it's going to take success. It's going to take a lot of fan support. It's going to take a major gift.
Mm-hmm.
And, the major gift was probably the hardest to secure because it just, that's such a definitive, you got to find somebody that can give you that kind of money.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we did, and we were lucky and fortunate that the Rymans were willing to do that. But if we would have had the gift and not the fan support, we couldn't have done it either.
Yeah.
And so I don't, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? I think the Rymans did it out of their love for the institution, but their love for Paul Rhodes, their support of our administration. You know, there was a lot of factors that caused them to make that gift. There's a lot of reasons our fans are doing what they do. You know, and I know I'm making this a much broader answer, but Chris, that, you know, it's, you know, what came, again, the chicken and egg scenario. Was it the fact that 6 years ago we invested in making the concourses better and the bathrooms better and the concession stands better, mm-hmm. or that we put in the video boards, or that we hired a football coach, Paul Rhodes, that really resonates with the majority of our fan base? All those things have contributed to the fan support and the Ryman gift and our ability to move forward with the project.
I feel we have a ton of young people who listen to this podcast and come to our website every day. I'm fortunate to be able to talk back and forth with them. And what I'm sensing is we're working our way up to game day. I'm sensing that I feel like my age, maybe I'm 31. I feel like my age to the maybe 25 and above, the people who have been Cyclones their whole life really understand what this is. But I'm also kind of sensing, I don't feel like the younger generation really understands how big of a deal this actually is. I mean, this is something that Iowa Staters have been clamoring for decades. I mean, this goes beyond when you even got here, mm-hmm. 10 years ago. How do you put that into words for a college kid who's maybe walking to class right now listening, just how big of an accomplishment this actually is, not just for Iowa State football, but the university,
right,
in its own right?
Well, I would say a couple things. Number one, you're right. I would agree with you. But I want to make certain that we're both clear that it's not – I'm not saying that as a reflection on the current generation.
No, absolutely.
Because that feeling is – I mean, that's a natural feeling.
Yeah.
And I'll bet the student body, when they moved out to this stadium from Clyde Williams Field, probably didn't have that sense. You know, I describe it as things happen in generational terms, right?
Yeah.
And most people, when it's happening, don't have any concept that it's happening until it's happened and you look back in time, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the best example I always give is, you know, Nebraska fans are awesome and, you know, have a great history of supporting that football team, but it all kind of goes back to Bob Devaney,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, there was a line drawn from Bob Devaney forward, but I would love to talk to somebody that was in the generation before Bob Devaney, mm-hmm. when they didn't do what they do, right?
Yeah.
And so what I've tried to tell people with this is a generational change. And we're in the middle of it. And I think the older, mature Cyclones can sense it and feel it because they don't, you know, they have the perspective of what it looked like before.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a senior at Iowa State right now, you haven't been to a game where there's been less than 50,000 people at it.
Yeah.
You know, so where when you were a senior, you didn't go to one game that had over 50,000 people.
That's true.
So, you know, it's understandable why they think that. They're like, well, we have 50,000 people, so why didn't you bowl in the end zone? You know, they have no perspective that there's a couple that are in their 70s that just gave $25 million that graduated from Iowa State. You know, but it took them 50 years to get to that spot.
Yeah. No, that's fascinating the way you put that, and just the growth in general. The one thing I like to look at is the enrollment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that – what is it at this year?
36,000. It was 22,000 students when I started 10 years ago.
36,000.
Yeah. You know,
because I remember about 25 is what
just think of that conceptually, and you just go, okay, you know, there's 15,000 more students on campus. That's bigger than the student section.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the student section is roughly 8,000.
Mm-hmm.
So we've doubled, you know, the population twice as much of what just the student section is.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you look at basketball, and basketball, you know, there's only 2,500 seats, but we've gained, you know, 15,000 more students.
Yeah.
So and what's happening, you know, just within the state with the number of alums living in the state and, you know, being the high school choice or the institution of choice by high school students in almost 80 of the 99 counties. So there is a huge generational movement happening, and this stadium, it hit me, Chris, when Earl Bruce was here last year, and we sat in this office, and we were just talking, and you get a little more reflective as you get older.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 50. So I was asking Earl what it was like to be here as a coach with his family. He talked about his daughters and living down the street in the country club neighborhood. But he was the coach the year they moved into the stadium.
Really?
And so I asked him, what was that like? You know, how did that feel? And it was really neat to get that perspective, because someday someone's going to look back on this and go, Chris, what was it like to be the head of the, you know, Cyclone Fanatic when they built that stadium?
Yeah.
You know, or they added on to that stadium, because 20 years from now, people won't even remember.
Yeah.
That we didn't have that.
No, it's special. And to me, I told you this before we started recording, but I got to go through the tour on Thursday, I think it was, of last week. And it, I'm not just saying this, it's better than I thought it would be. I guess I didn't really know what you guys were envisioning. I didn't see the blueprints or anything like that. But man, I mean, that is, we're doing our pregame show right in front of that giant TV screen. I was telling Brent Bloom, I'm like, man, we get to watch another Big 12 game while we're doing the show. I mean, it's classy, but it still has that Iowa State feel. It's not overdone, I didn't think. Did it turn out the way you hoped, better?
Yeah, it's turned out far better than we could have imagined. It's been me personally. I mean, I can't speak for everybody on the project, but I'll say for me, it turned out far better. Some of the infrastructure on the inside, you'd like it to be design build, you know, where you could just be in there as an artist and kind of plan it out. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you don't do that in a state project.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of cast your mold pretty early and then hope it turns out right.
Yeah.
And we, whether it was luck or whatever, I mean, to me, the grain bins that are the, I call them the tiki bars.
Oh, yeah.
The big screens, you know, the four TVs all mounted together. So get 16 TVs for the big screen. It almost is like we, you know, as it was coming out, we said, that's like a stage.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
how we got into it. Well, let's do the radio show there.
Yeah.
It's a stage.
Oh, it's perfect.
So it'll be a stage for weddings. You know, I can see the band there, you know.
Absolutely.
And so, yes, it has.
You mentioned the bar area. The drinking in college stadiums is kind of a big topic right now. I mean, not just probably a couple years ago when it started, but is this your way of getting around that? I mean, if you want to pay for that amenity, you have to be
so direct about our intentions.
But you know what I mean, though. Like,
Is
this your way? If you want that amenity, hey, you can pay for it, and we're gonna monetize it like this, but we're not gonna spread it throughout the entire stadium. Is that the way you were thought through that?
You want to get right to point C without going to point B.
You can take me through point B, point two, anything you want.
So if I want to be a person of short words, which I never am, the answer would be yes, but I don't want to do that politically.
Okay.
No, I'd say a couple things. Number one is, you know, we are a college campus,
mm-hmm.
and that's a big issue on college campuses. And I don't need to have the athletics department be, you know, when we're on the president's desk or the Board of Regents desk, I want it to be because we're celebrating something, not because we're a problem child.
Gotcha.
And, you know, I get the, whether it's the pleasure or the displeasure of having to see the call reports from the police after games. And you'd be shocked at some of the stupidity that some people exhibit during a home football game.
I host the post-game call-in show. Yeah. I understand.
So you hear. Okay. I get to see what they actually do and get arrested for or cited for. So
I get that and pray that they're not driving while talking to me.
Yes. So, you know, so to put it throughout the stadium is just like, you know, you're leaving any moral high ground behind. You know, one of the things that we have outside our stadium that I think is a huge asset for Iowa State is great parking,
mm-hmm.
which fosters great tailgating environment. And we've worked with campus police, student affairs, that, you know, we're not out there trying to mandate, legislate, whatever, and making it so much a military state like some institutions have.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to keep that atmosphere. And so the thought of putting it throughout the stadium, it just opens yourself up to so many more issues, because anything that goes wrong will now be blamed on that. So that's number one.
That's a good point, yeah.
We've got a good thing going, and we don't need to have it. Then secondly, from the financial side, you know, because there are some schools that are going to it,
mm-hmm.
and most that are going to it are because they want the almighty dollar. We're making far more money on the upcharge for the premium seating to get into those spaces. And not everybody's getting into those spaces because they want alcohol, but
yeah.
a good chunk of them are. They'll mm-hmm. tell you that. We make more money on that upcharge than we'll ever make on the alcohol sales. And I'm going to say this, and we'll find out how many listeners you have because it'll be all over your website if there's people out there listening.
They're listening.
Okay. Last year in Johnny's. Okay. Johnny's is robust in Hilton, right?
Yeah,
every
yeah.
game, it's packed. We've actually had to expand it because it's so packed. Our total alcohol sales were $100,000. Total sales, not profit. Total sales, $100,000. And, you know, and we're not charging beer for $2. It's
correct.
$5, $7 a bottle or whatever.
Yeah.
We've picked up since the end of last basketball season, a 100 more people at the director's level. Now, let's assume for a moment, Chris, that all 100 of them went from $5,000, which is the victory level, to now the director's level, which is $12,500. Okay. There's some that just came in at 12.5. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just assume they all just went up one level. That's 100 people times $7,500 or $750,000.
Gotcha.
Okay. That $750,000 is all our incremental revenue. Think how many years of alcohol sales at $100,000 we'd have to have just to surpass that. So the money is in the, I call it the country club. The money is in the membership fee
yeah.
to get into the premium seating areas for whatever reasons you want, including the ability to have alcohol. So I would argue we've actually are selling it, but we're selling it in a more controlled environment. And then that's the third thing is by keeping it in the controlled environment, you have much better ability to not have it be problematic throughout the stadium. Because you're selling it in an area where you know who the patrons are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have some people that get overserved and they're talked to. And if they're a problem, you know, they'll lose their right to be in that premium space. And we've had to do that a couple times.
Yeah, and especially when you think of guys, and this happens too without it, but you had too many on the hillside and just being a guy who have a daughter now, like, you think about that a little bit differently. At least I do.
You do.
Changed my perspective over the last 6 months.
Well, and basketball, because there's limited seating and the price point and the success, you know, it's not as much a family atmosphere anymore because the price point's just too high.
Yeah.
You know, and fortunately, we have great women's basketball and volleyball, so we can still market to the families. In football, we still have that ability because of the Hills and the Junior Cyclone Club.
Yeah.
And so we already are, you know, pushing up with the parking lots and mixing alcohol with the kids, but at least within the game, the idiot that sits in front of you and curses and just is a buffoon
yeah.
Is bad enough. But if we were serving alcohol in the stadium and they were going and getting beer and dropping it on people, and then that's a whole nother set of problems that we just don't need.
Yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense. I wanted to, before I let you go, just a couple of quick Big 12 things as well. It was at the Big 12 Media Days in Dallas where Commissioner Boolsby was – the expansion was brought up, and I don't want to hammer you too much on expansion because it's game time and nobody really cares at this point. But he brought up there were a couple schools who were for it, a couple schools were against it, there were some in the middle. Do you guys have a real – stance on that, or is it basically where do you go with that? Because he wasn't real specific, and I haven't heard you quoted on that. Do you have one way or another where you lean?
Well, we're not wed either way to, you know, with our head buried in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
If you had if the facts were the facts that we know today,
mm-hmm.
then I'm in no expansion. But you can't, that's today. And so tomorrow there could be a different set of facts.
Absolutely.
And so I don't believe anybody in our league is wed to, I don't care what the facts are, we want to stay at 10. And I don't honestly believe anybody truly is wed to, well, we have to expand regardless of the facts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on that continuum, there are some people that are closer to expansion and further from expansion. And that's the part that we kind of just got to wade through.
Yeah.
Because to some, what may appear to be a fact isn't truly a fact yet. You know, for example, the college football playoff.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, what stirred all of this was we got left out last year. And is that it's fact we got left out, but is it fact that we can't get in because we only have 10? No, that's
Well, you almost got two.
Correct. But, you know, that's a fallacy to take that position that, well, it's a fact we're going to be disadvantaged because we only have 10. Time will tell us if that's a disadvantage. If it is, then we'll have to deal with it, right?
Yeah.
But to knee-jerk over that, I think the majority would say, yeah, we need more data. We need to make sure that's truly a fact and wasn't just a one-year anomaly. And so that's, you know, what you're wrestling with. And some people, you know, depending where you are in that continuum,
yeah,
can make facts seem bigger than they are or smaller than they are.
Yeah. Do you like the round robin, the way that it is now?
I think one of the things that you have to take into account is the when we talk about expansion, even President Boren, when he talked about it, that's all based solely on a very narrow view of just a football deal. We have arguably the best setup for basketball.
Yeah, absolutely.
There isn't. Our conference tournament rival. They're in a rival to it right now because the others have grown so big that it starts on Tuesday and ends on Sunday, and you know, six of the teams are gone before Thursday, and so is it really a tournament? And so I think you have to be very careful that you don't just put all your eggs just in expansion as related to football. You know, one of the things that is, you know, started to be talked about is, well, would we be better with some kind of, you know, like in wrestling right now, we're going to have some other members come in that aren't members of the Big 12. They're just for that sport. You know, do we do that in football? If truly it becomes an issue down the road that, we need a championship game or we need 12 or whatever.
Yeah.
Would we be better off, you know, having two teams come in as just affiliate members for football?
Yeah.
And because, you know, you start talking about adding schools way on the East Coast or way on the West Coast, geography wise, is that the best thing for softball and swimming and tennis and basketball?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
But it may be the best thing for football. And so I think that that's what we've got to get our arms around here and not just jump off the cliff thinking, well, 12's the right answer. And then all of a sudden you start going, well, wow, why are we sending the softball team to, you know, the East Coast or the West Coast?
I think too, a misconception out there, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there's a lot of fans who think that if the Big 12 will go back to 12 schools, that it's automatically going to get back to 4 non-conference games. And from what I understand, that probably wouldn't be the case with the television contracts, or is that just unknown time?
See, and that's another factor that comes into it is more inventory is better. So, you know, if you go to if you went back to 8 and 12, is it better or worse? I mean, are you giving them worse inventory because you're watering down the schedule? I mean, our Big 12 round robin of 9 games, there's some really good inventory for Fox and ESPN. And so that's all part of it. And what happens, you know, with the Big Ten's television contracts up, so that, you know, they're going to be out changing the marketplace here in the near future. You know, the whole cable cutting dilemma. You know, there's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
And it's just not as simple as we all as fans want to try to make it. It's pretty complex.
Absolutely.
And I work in it daily, and it's complex. So I'm one of I've stepped away from the ledge, which is hard for me because I'm an activator. But you just have to kind of step back and just say, okay, let's just let the dust settle and see where things are, and let's not all get too worked up about it.
Hypothetical here. Had the Big 12 gotten a team into the playoff?
Yep.
Does any of this stuff in the offseason happen in your
opinion? I bet not. Because it isn't – expansion has nothing to do with any of the other sports.
Yeah.
I'd argue expansion in almost all other sports would be a negative. It clearly could potentially be a huge negative for the basketball tournament, for us especially.
Yeah.
Because you go east or you go west, and you're probably going to leave Kansas City behind some of the time.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
So it really was driven by football, and it was driven, you know, the height of it came that week right after the football playoff when we didn't get in.
Yeah.
Had we got two in, bet your house. If we would have got two in, everybody would be moaning the fact that it's not fair that the Big 12 didn't eliminate one of their teams with a playoff game.
Yeah.
With a championship game. So that's how close we had to having it be completely the other way, a different argument. So let's see what happens at the end of this season.
Yeah, and another, I mean, eventually, at some point, a Florida State's going to lose to Georgia Tech.
Yep.
Or, you know, Ohio State killed Wisconsin. But, I mean, that's right. Going to reverse at some point.
It's going to play out that way. You know, and Notre Dame's going to get one of those spots eventually, too.
Yeah.
You know, so we keep saying one conference is going to be left out. If Notre Dame gets in, two conferences are left out. And, you know, think about it, if somebody has to, you know, like use our scenario last year.
Yeah.
And if Notre Dame would have been good and then a Florida State loses or an Oregon loses, you know, you could have had three conferences left out because you could have had, you know, one conference got one, Notre Dame gets another, and another conference gets two of the spots, and suddenly three of the leagues, you know.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of history still to be written.
I could geek out on this stuff for like an hour, so we probably should get back to it, to the actual game coming up on Saturday, and then I'll let you go. Are you – you're 10 years into this. You seem to be as excited as the day that you got here. Is that accurate? Are you more excited?
I am really excited. It's you know, I mean, a decade, you know, so what makes – this year any more different than last year, other than, you know, it's 10 years versus 9 years, right?
Yeah.
But it's 10 years is one of those just symbolic times. And for me too, you know, I kind of christened, that's not the right word. I capped off the first 10 kind of dramatically with a heart attack, you know, so I told at our all staff meeting, I said, you know, listen, Coach Rhodes, you know, anybody here, I'm all in. Cause you know, I said, if I could have another heart attack 10 years from now to get to it 20 years, then I'll sign me up. I'm all in. But I think all of that comes together in a way that – and then the stadium too.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of neat things that are happening to start the next decade. You know, soccer team going off and winning yesterday over a top 10 team. First time we beat a top 10 team in the history of Iowa State. So, I'm excited because I really truly believe that the next decade has the potential for some really cool athletic achievements because – 10 years ago, if I'd have stood before our department and said we want to win a Big 12 championship or it's time for us to win a national championship again because it's been 21 years since we won our last national championship. It was cross country back in 94. I think our coaches all would have looked at me like cross-eyed because they knew we were underfunded. Mm-hmm. Most of them were understaffed and our facilities, we just had not invested in our facilities. And so here we are 10 years later, $160 million of investment in facilities. We're staffed up. Our budget was 20-some million. It's now 70 million. We have everything we need to go have some really neat athletic achievements. I recognize that the athletic achievements are not low-hanging fruit. And it's going to take luck. It's going to take some really, you know, outstanding things to happen. But I think we're poised to do that. And so that's what excites me because we need more of those beating Oklahoma State here, coming back and winning in Kansas City in basketball.
Yeah.
We need more Kyven Gadsons. We need more Betsy Cienos, Lisa Coles. We need moments like that that people can go, wow, it isn't Ohio State when you're traveling nationally. It's Iowa State. And I say that jokingly because when I'm out nationally, a lot of times you'll go, where are you from? Oh, Iowa State. Oh, Ohio State? No, I said Iowa State. Listen to me.
Yeah.
So I want us to have a better brand nationally. And I think we've got a great story to tell, but it's been told locally or regionally.
Yeah.
The state now knows Iowa State exists, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Where 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was a big gap.
Yeah. I mean, the demographics of high school students, living alums, and enrollment, okay, are three huge, huge demographic changes that would say we're the premier program in the state now, okay? Well, now we got to stretch those borders, and we need to be known nationally as the premier program in the state.
Do you – I don't expect you to give me a direct answer to this, but just in general, do you guys have, like, a facilities game plan where it's like, okay, like a checklist. I got this done, this done, this done. We got the end zone done. Is there something like the next big thing you want to tackle, or is that – Well, am I jumping ahead and just not letting you enjoy this achievement?
A little bit. you know, we did have that checklist, and we've pretty much checked it all.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. That's why I was asking, so, what's next?
So it's in some ways, what's next is you got to go back to the beginning and start saying, okay, How do we go back and refresh, modernize, so that we don't dig us $160 million hole again?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, it was tough digging out of that hole. But, you know, probably the next thing that we're noodling on right now is our academic center, which, you know, we built 9 years ago, 8 years ago. It's hard to believe it was that long ago. But that needs to be expanded because that it's become such a magnet for our student athletes. And
well, that's good.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it was the first facility we did, and it's awesome that it was because it sent a great message about, you know, what we're really here for.
Mm-hmm.
And we're probably ready to try to expand that. So I think that's the next thing we'll start working on. I recognize that's not something that most fans are going to go, ooh, I can't wait to see that.
But I think your diehards are interested in it.
Yeah, though. It's a core. Because, you know, mm-hmm. the number one thing we can do with our student-athletes is have them have academic success and graduate. And then once – if we know we can get them to do that, then we're going to work on the other three, which is premier program in the state, win Big 12 championships, and win some NCAA championships. So,
well, I hope that's coming.
That's the plan.
We appreciate it.
Well,
appreciate all the hard work. I'm looking forward to Saturday more than you know. I always go back to that Missouri game in 2004. Just when I think about the growth, and that this is really before I was working in media. I was a sophomore, and I was sitting in the front row. It was Thanksgiving weekend, and I had all intentions of having my shirt off, but it was freezing. You weren't here. It was so cold that game, and I just remember being so excited because Iowa State was playing for a chance to go to the Big 12 championship game, which the year before. I think they were 2-10 or something like that. So, you know, that was a major jump. And I just remember how disappointed I was just seeing all of the empty seats. And now, like, to envision what's going to happen on Saturday night, it's incredible for a guy like me. So thank you for all your work. I know that a lot of people will echo that who are listening to this.
Well, I appreciate that, Chris. And it's been fun to be here to be part of that, but also be at the same time that you've kind of evolved your career. Because I don't know if you'll remember this, but you and Brent were doing that call-in show on 1430, right?
Yep.
And KSI.
From 10 to noon on Sunday morning.
Yes. Yep. And I believe I was your first caller.
First caller I ever had doing a radio
caller.
Show.
And I told you, I said, when I called in on that Sunday morning, I said, now remember me when you're famous. So we're working on the famous part.
Yeah, we got a ways to go on that. But
it's neat to see your evolution.
Well, thank you very much.
So
I appreciate that.
What's your next decade?
Hopefully right here. I have no ambition to go anywhere else. We love, especially now that I have a daughter.
Uh-huh.
I was so excited when it was a girl. And I would have been happy with a boy, too. But, like, you mentioned the women's basketball and volleyball. I can't wait. Because, I'm around those sports, but it's not a job for me. You know what I mean? I cannot wait till my daughter's old enough to take her to, you know, to those games and to be able to do that sort of thing with her. And my wife is an Iowa State grad. She has 2 degrees from here. We don't want to go anywhere else. So as long as people keep me around, I guess that's the biggest key.
Well, you know, we'll work on being successful so that, you know, that'll grow your brand.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And, again, congratulations on everything. We're looking forward to Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday night will be really fun. It'll be a new record.
All right. He's Jamie Pollard. You can listen to him on the coach's show tonight.
Coach's show tonight at 6:30.
Yep.
And I have the first half hour, then Coach Rhodes will have the – last hour, and I'll get in a plug here while I can.
Yeah, they're gonna, go for it.
I think we're good. I was meeting with Mary Pink from our marketing office this morning. I think we're down to it's roughly about 350 tickets for Saturday's game that are all in the ticket area that you and I gave back, and I believe they're going to do a flash. I mean, I'm getting over my skis here a little technology-wise.
Yeah,
but
it's
some
okay.
Flash ticket sale that those tickets will go off at the $30. We're going to lower them down to $30 because that's the lowest price that we had for any tickets.
Gotcha.
So we're going to try to clear out those last 350-some tickets this week so that we can open up Saturday night with a sellout because we're sold out for Iowa. So
yeah,
be great to have 61.5 for the first two games.
It would be good to see those 300 people wearing Cardinal and not
yes,
purple.
Yes, yes.
Well.
So they're Upper Deck and J&H for those people that are out there listening. But sometime today, you'll be able to go on Ticketmaster and buy those tickets for $30.
All right. Awesome. Thanks
All
for
right.
your time, Jamie.
Okay,
we appreciate
Chris, thanks.
Iowa State Athletics Director Jamie Pollard here on today's podcast. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bunch of Paul Rhodes press conference coverage coming up later today. So long.